This summer, my two daughters, Sophia and Hannah, decided to try out swim team for the first time. My older daughter, Sophia, is at kind of a strange and awkward age with swim team because our swim pool has two swim teams, one for 8 and under and the other for 9 and up. Well, Sophia is still only 8, but to be 9 very soon, she will tell you. And all of her friends were on the 9 and up team, but she was still only 8. So she decided that she would go to the 8 and under practice first and then go to the 9 and older practice so she could also practice with her friends. And the other day she was reflecting on the two different styles of coaching that she had experienced throughout the summer. She had said she liked her 8 and under coach much better because she got in the water with the kids and she showed them what they were supposed to do in the water, how to move their hands and their feet and how to do the strokes correctly. But it made me laugh when she shared about the other coach. She said, the other coach, she just stands on the side of the pool holding her cup of coffee and trying to show us, kicking her legs out like this, telling us what we're supposed to be doing. She said, I like the coach that gets in the water with me better. The truth is that they actually are both wonderful swim coaches and extremely encouraging of the kids. Because when we started the swim season, I mentioned to the coaches that my younger daughter, Hannah, could not swim a length of the pool, and so I wasn't quite sure that swim team would really be appropriate for her since she couldn't actually make it the entire length. They were completely unconcerned about this and thought that this was not a problem at all and have encouraged her throughout the season. And by the end of the season, she now can swim an entire length of the pool with the encouragement that she has received throughout this year. It is truly amazing what encouragement can do. But what makes for a good coach to my daughter, Sophia, is someone who's positive, encouraging, and gets in the water with you. This is a great model for all of us as we think about how to support and encourage, how to teach others. Today we see this model lived out in Barnabas, one of the disciples of Jesus, and how he leads and works with Saul. We first encounter Barnabas a number of chapters earlier in the book of Acts. The first time we encounter Barnabas, he has come and sold a field and brought all of the proceeds of that sale to the ministry of the disciples and given all of that money to help support the mission and ministry there. And we are told at that time that he was named Joseph, but that the disciples decided to name him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And from that time on, Barnabas truly begins to live into that name, becoming a son of encouragement in many different ways, especially in the life of Saul. We hear a little bit later that Saul, who had been a persecutor of the Christians, eventually is converted by Jesus, seeing a light on the road, and instead becomes a great follower of Jesus. No longer a persecutor, but a devout follower and one who calls himself Christian as well. And so Saul goes to the leaders in Jerusalem and wants to become a part of their community. But the leaders there are quite skeptical. I mean, this is the same guy who was trying to kill them. And so they're not so sure about this guy, Saul, even if he says he's now following Jesus. And so we hear now Barnabas come on the scene. And Barnabas comes and vouches for Saul, saying, you know what? I have seen him. I have been with him. I have supported and encouraged him. And he is truly a follower of Jesus now. Barnabas puts his neck on the line, standing up for Saul to support and encourage him so that Saul can grow in faith. Many of us in our lives have encountered Barnabases as well, people who have come alongside us to support and encourage us to help us grow in faith. These may have been people in our lives such as Sunday school teachers who have taught us the faith when we were younger. Maybe it was parents or grandparents who helped to share the faith, to help us grow in faith. Maybe a Barnabas in your life may be a friend or a coworker. There are a variety of different people who have been Barnabases in each of our lives, people who have come alongside to help support and encourage us in our faith, to help us grow in faith, to grow deeper in faith, ones who have been teachers and coaches who have got in the water with us to help us to truly grow in faith. And we also find that sometimes we are called to be a Barnabas as well, to be one who supports and encourages others to grow in faith, to teach them, to coach them, to get in the water with them as they grow in faith. But we'll see that with Barnabas, it doesn't simply stop with helping to support and encourage Saul and get in the water with him as he grows in faith, but instead, Barnabas becomes a partner alongside Saul in ministry so that they can encourage each other. We hear about in our lesson today that the Holy Spirit came and sent Barnabas and Saul out into mission, sent them out to go out into the Gentile world to begin to share about the good news of Jesus. You'll see our map over here and the ever-growing red ribbons on our map. Last week, we only had about a third of those ribbons up there. But after Paul and Barnabas head out on their mission, they go into many new cities, many Gentile areas, beginning to share about the good news. And this truly is the mission that they were called into together. But they were called in together as partners in ministry. And we often see that this is how God has worked throughout Scripture and how God continues to work when God sends us out. We see earlier throughout Scripture examples such as with Moses. When Moses is called at the burning bush, we find out quickly that his brother Aaron is sent along as a partner with Moses. Or a little bit later, we hear in Scriptures about Naomi. Naomi is a woman whose husband and whose sons have died, and she feels widowed, abandoned, and alone. But her daughter-in-law, Ruth, comes to be a partner with her as they return back to Naomi's homeland. We hear about the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as soon as Mary finds out that she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel says to her, "Now go to your cousin Elizabeth." Mary immediately, when being given a rather big and huge mission of bearing the Son of God into the world, is not left to do this alone, but instead is given a partner in ministry through her cousin Elizabeth. We even see this is how Jesus operates as he sends out his disciples and followers. Jesus sends out 70 of his followers to go and to prepare the places where Jesus will go. And it says that he sends them out in pairs. They're never sent alone. Always sent out in mission and ministry together with another, to be a partner together, to support and encourage each other. And this truly is what we see with Paul and Barnabas, that they are sent out together into this mission to share the good news to the Gentiles, to encourage each other. And truly, they are going to need each other because we hear today in our reading that they find that they are being persecuted for what they are preaching. They are being put to the test, and it might easily be that if were one alone, they could not stand. But two together continue to share the good news, and we hear that they shake the dust off their feet as they go together to a new place, following the Spirit of God. We often find this happens to us as well when difficulties arise as we are following where God is leading or simply living out our lives and finding that difficulties and suffering and hard times have come, that we are not left to bear those alone. But in those difficult times, God sends people to us to walk alongside us, because many times it is too much for us to bear alone. Oftentimes we hear people will say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. But I'm not sure I believe that's true. Sometimes it is more than you can handle alone. But it's never more than we can handle together. Because God sends partners to help us in the midst of those times. As I was sharing about this partnership of Saul and Barnabas, one of our Stephen ministers here at Zion said, you know what? That's exactly what I do with Stephen Ministry. I come alongside and walk along with others who are in need. When I go and to be with my care receiver, I sit and I listen and I'm there for her. So she knows she's not alone. I can't change her situation. I can't make her situation better. But I can help her to know that she's not alone in the midst of it, and that I am there, and that God is there. And while Stephen Ministry is a formal program that we have here at Zion to help walk alongside those who are in need, God many times uses programs such as these, but oftentimes God uses much more informal ways, sending us fellow Christians and believers, fellow friends and brothers and sisters, to help us walk through those difficult times so that we know that we are not alone, but that we are in this together, just as Barnabas and Saul were in this together. Throughout our life, we find that we many times encounter a Barnabas that God has sent us. A son or daughter of encouragement that God has sent to help us to grow in faith. Son or daughter of encouragement to come be a partner with us as we go forth leading where God is calling, following together. A son or daughter of encouragement to help support us through the difficult times. And we often find as well that we are called to be a Barnabas to others, to help support and encourage others and to walk alongside them, to be a partner in ministry with them. And so we give thanks to God for the Barnabases that God has sent into our lives. And we look for ways that the Spirit is calling us to be a Barnabas to others, to get in the water together. Amen.